الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أيام معدودات صدق الله مولانا العظيم ما شاء الله وصلى برادرز are reading quite a bit of Quran Sharif a few are little which we plan through and do Quran Sharif reading as much as possible at the same time here only three brothers who cannot read Quran Sharif the rest mashallah can read and don't just take it for granted that we can read Quran Sharif today it is all the maktab system that they eat that we learn whether even we became hafiz afterwards if there wasn't a maktab system we wouldn't have the hifz classes we wouldn't have the darul ulums and the alim classes also so support the maktab system wherever in our areas make it stronger if we are directly involved alhamdulillah and try and devote ourselves thoroughly if we are not directly involved then make duas and contribute towards our maktab in our area many places there are financial constraints so contribute towards that and also practical and constructive criticism. We know of the children, for example, they not making namaz, bring it to their attention, but not fault finding. Try to build up the whole structure, not to break it down, not to break down somebody's morale or anything, but how to improve all the time. And the main in all this is dua. Dua works the most strongest in all these matters. And by dua, nobody can say, I can't make dua. Even if he's a dumb person, everyone can make dua. And by dua, we will get our full share by Allah Ta'ala. And that must be our main objective, that Allah be pleased with us. So the maktab system, and in fact, that Islam came to our countries also. Our forefathers who came about 100, 150 years ago. There were hardly any ulama who came. It was all just ordinary people and they came for greener pastures that will make more money in that country. For that reason they came. But because they had a maktab system, they had the back behind them. And therefore when they came here, they wanted here also maktabs. Though they came for business. But the minute they found their footing, then they decided to must have a jamaat khana, must have a madrasa, small madrasa. And that is how then Islam came here. All our azans, our masjid, the root goes back to the maktab system. And so it's a very, very great thing. And this was instituted officially by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who made all the rules, even like a Friday holiday in the maktab system also. That was also introduced by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The salary of the ustaz, that was also introduced by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is a very, very strong thing. Our subject is something else, but round about 30, 40 years ago, the Minister of Education of Egypt went to Pakistan and he gave a talk to the ustaz and students in Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's Madrasa Darul Uloom also. In that talk he said that about 200 years ago in Egypt we also had our maktab system very strong. Our Darul Uloom, everything very strong. He says, but then the West offered that we teach maths in our maktabs, in our Darul Ulooms. And everyone thought nothing wrong, maths is calculation, arithmetic, and we need it in our emirat system, distribution of inheritance, and many other things also, calculations are required in our deen. So no problem, we'll introduce, and they offer certain amount of money. And so the ustaz were happy, they will get a better salary, The principal was happy, I won't have to make so much effort going to collect money to pay my ustaz, etc. After some time, they introduced science, and then one, two other subjects. And they say in 5 years' time, that maktab and darulum that was only for Dini Talim, Quran Sharif, now that became optional. And the other obvious subject took precedence. And by 10 years, 15 years' time, there was no Dini Talim left in there. We were out in Jamaat many years ago, and one brother of Lebanon, Beirut, he was also with us in Jamaat. He was now in Australia, but he was born there. He said when he went to the Islamic school, those years they had already Islamic school. The Islamic schools are nothing new, it has been since very long time. So he said that only once a week we should have Islamic subjects. This is the Islamic school. We started with the name of Islam, more Islamic subjects, more time for madrasa, but finally it came to this stage that when he was there, and afterwards even that one subject goes out. Only one period a week we had for Islamic subjects. And he said, for 3 years I was in the school and I didn't even read, learn Surah Fatiha. He said, all that has happened when that Islamic period time came, the ustad came in the class, crossed his arms on the table and slept away. Half of the class went out of the class doing what they want to. The other half in the class making a big noise all the time. And he said, we didn't even learn Surah Fatiha in 3 years' time. And in our maktab system, mashallah, where we are in a foreign country, in a strange country, Arabic is not the language in any way, but mashallah, our children learn, and today so much with tajweed, etc. So with a lot of dua and support and strengthen the maktab system, it is our backbone. As long as the maktab system will be there, this is one enemy of Islam. It slipped out of his tongue, a priest who said, yea, for South Africa, he said, as long as you have your maktab system, you will exist as a Muslim community. The day you don't have your maktab system, you will exist as a business community, as academic people, professional people, all other things, but not as a Muslim community. It is a Muslim, it is a maktab that is our foundation. Allah give us tawfiq. Make dua for where we learn. And in that, make dua for our ustad. How many of us make dua for our ustad who starts to start off with alif ba ta fa? And this has got very great value and power by Allah. When we consider where our roots are, and we make dua for those people, we get Allah makes us progress tremendously. Our Shaykh Ibn Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, in his village where he learned on the maktab system, and in there those days they used to teach Farsi, Persian also. So he could start talking, but afterwards Hazrat in Persian reached that level that a great alim like Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, he could not make out the difference of Hazrat writing and Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali. That is, as far as the language is concerned, Persian language also, Farsi, and also as far as his spirituality is concerned. The spirituality of Maulana Rumi, who can imagine? But him, and a person like Allama Yusuf bin Nuri couldn't make out. The Hazrat was in that category. So when he went many years afterwards back to his village again, and he met his ustad also, and his ustad has seen how he had, in Persian Farsi, where he had reached. So he asked, if you learn from anyone else also? He said, no, only what you taught me. That the result of that, Allah gave me so much barakah that I have reached here. So that ustad who taught us even alif ba ta sa. And we don't know many of those ustads, Allah make all our ustads make us all like that. They didn't only teach alif ba ta sa. Ruhaniyat also, deen also, the value of deen, that also they had transferred. We didn't realize it also. We were just dealing alif, say Allah, but they were putting Allah in our heart. They were teaching in that way. So make a lot of dua in for our spiritual progress. How much we make dua for all our ustad, especially right at the beginning of the maktab, and make dua for the mutawallis of the madrasa also. They do it as a linda job. They don't take any salary. Alhamdulillah, still by and large in the world, wherever running maktabs, etc., they don't take a salary for it. They do it, though there is a lot of shortage and a lot of improvement that is required, but they're giving their service. And all who contributed also, people who perhaps never came to the masjid, but they gave money for the maktab. Annually, people go around collecting and they give their money. So make dua for all those people, Allah give us tawfiq. As far as our ma'mulat is concerned, one very important ma'mul is also our tasbihat and fatimi. After namaz, that we have to read 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And this, inshallah, one day, a whole bayan we learned from Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Khalifa, very senior Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Masih Allah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. In one majlis, how much we benefited from him, we will try and pass it on to our friends also. But anyway, our tasbihat e fatimi, that also we should read it and not just rush through it and not just think we are reading it, but read it and read it with the meaning. And Subhanallah, the meaning of Subhanallah, many of us were reading so many years, but do we know the meaning of Subhanallah? Somebody can tell me the meaning of Subhanallah? See? Glory be to Allah. Anyone else? See? Pure. What purity? See? What purity from all faults? Insanity faults. Who? Allah reward our share, Jazahum Allah, who has shared with Roger, Hafiz ibn Hajar, Asqalani Rahmatullah Ali, made the beautiful, beautiful explanation, Usabbihullah ani naqaiti kulliha, that I declare, I say, that Allah is free of any and all types of blemishes, faults, everything, weaknesses. Faults we should not even talk about with regard to Allah. There is no question of faults. And weaknesses also. So Allah has got no old age, no cough, no feeling sleepy, no feeling tired, no nothing. Allah is perfection, complete perfection. Allah doesn't grow old also. Allah doesn't get tired also. That is when I say Subhanallah. That is what I'm saying. Now we normally English translation glory to Allah, we glorify Allah. Now what does this really mean? What am I glorifying Allah? So that, and Alhamdulillah, mushtamilan alal ma'amili kulliha, and all types of praises that can be thought of are all for Allah Ta'ala. And there are praises in Alhamdulillah istighraqi. That means it takes in all the types of praises. I praise you, you praise me, we all praise somebody else, whatever kind of praises there are. All the praises eventually are only for Allah. Even if Allah praises any of His bandas, or one banda praises another, so we praise some alim, we praise our father, we praise anyone, but eventually all that praises is only for Allah Ta'ala. And Allahu Akbar, Usabbihullah ani naqaiti kulliha, mushtamilan ala al-ma'amili kulliha, ma'a qadri azmatihi. According to the highest, lofty status of Allah. Allahu Akbar, in translation, and Allah is the greatest. But we should think the greatest in every way. And when we realize that and we say it like that, then that is the mufhum and mukhali, that I am full of faults. Allah is free of faults. Allah is the greatest, I am the lowest. And therefore the highest position of namaz is sajda. When you put yourself to the lowest place, then you are the highest by Allah Ta'ala. And physically we put our head down. Allah makes it that spiritually, when we make sajda, the ruh also makes sajda. Then see the raf'at, the how. Allah Ta'ala makes that person rise in the world. If we put out there down spiritually that I am worse than everyone, the drunkard, the drug addict, the pigs, snakes, everything, I'm the lowest of Allah's creation, then see how Allah will make us high. And as long as we think we are high, Allah does not even look at us. So, and we must not be making an outward sajda, like we're fooling Allah Ta'ala. If we are just putting our head down, it is like we are fooling Allah, that I'm saying that I'm the lowest. But in our heart it is, that pride is still there so much. And if I'm making namaz 40, 50 years, and my pride hasn't broken stuff. And pride, how do you know I've got pride? Like that, everyone will say, when our anger overtakes us. And that time, shaitan becomes ashamed of how we behave at that time. What, how we swear, that shows how much of anger we got in us. And when we can't control our tongues, not the words that come out, the tongue also starts shaking, so much of anger, that you don't know, your lips, your face is shaking also. How much, then all, how much pride you have got in you. And we are filled with this pride. We haven't made one sajda for ourselves. If we make sajda and that humility comes in a person, Allah makes that person rise and shine. And not for now, forever. So all that is in this tasbihah. When we are reading 33 times subhanAllah, namaz was there. Just see the completion of the namaz now with 33 times subhanAllah. 33 times alhamdulillah. And that also if we say it with the meaning, we all read tasbihah now. Who of us pays attention to the meaning? We read, our tongues were engaged, inshallah. Some of us might be, we just start alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and then we stop also. But hopefully most of us have completed. But who, our mind was there, forget the heart. Most cases, zero. Our minds are not there, our hearts are not there. And we, and namaz was supposed to connect us more stronger to Allah. But immediately after that, our subhanAllah, our mind is not with Allah. Alhamdulillah, our mind is not with Allah. Allahu Akbar. So Allah give us tawfiq. The most common way of reading this is 33 times subhanAllah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar, and one time la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumeetu bi idhil khayr wa ala kulli shayin qadir. That comes in the hadith, it is 100%. But there are other ways also of reading it. One particular way of reading it is also, you can choose whichever way you want to. But one way, 33 times subhanAllah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 33 times Allahu Akbar. And then 10 times la ilaha illallah. It comes in the hadith sharif, a person who reads it in this way, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes that person reach the people who are born before him. There are two meanings there. That is the people, the high, high status, the great, great ulama had reached. Allah will make him reach there. And he will be a person living in this era, the 15th century. But he'll be gone back to the first century of Islam. That is one. And the other, second, that Allah will make him shine out from all his contemporaries. People who are with him living, he, Allah will make him shine out. So great fazilah by reading this tasbihat in this way. 33 times alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, 10 times la ilaha illallah. And the 10th time, complete la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku. But in the hadith only comes the 10th time, la ilaha illallah. And Allah makes that person reach the people who have gone before. That is, he reaches their stages. The stages of great, great ulama, he will be counted amongst them. And he will have his knowledge and his amal, Allah will bless him at that level. And amongst his contemporaries, people who are present in the world, Allah will make him to go far ahead of all of them. So Allah give us tawfiq that we should read that. And not only after Fajr and Asr, try and read it after every namaz. And try and read it before sleeping also. Try and reading our read, the Tasbihat-e-Fatimi, And inshallah, the detailed talk will come. But by reading it, it will give us physical strength also. Where we find weakness in our mind, our body, read Tasbihat-e Fatiha. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam described it for his own beloved daughter. That daughter, that she was so sad, 6 months after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, she did not smile also. Then suddenly after 6 months she smiled and she was happy. Her husband was Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu after Fatima. Today after 6 months, first time this man is so happy. She said that I dreamt last night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told me that you will be the first one to come and meet me since I have passed away. And then so that I was so happy. So that love born between father and daughter, we cannot imagine what it was like. She was got the news of passing away in which she, her 6 months of sorrow broke and she became happy. If we have to get news that we have to die, we feel very sad about it. But she was so happy, and then she was the first one to go, of all, to go and meet Hazrat Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. So this is Tasbihat-e Fatiha, a special gift. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told her, in the privacy of their home with her husband and Ali present, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam and Hazrat Fatima, only the three great people were there. And Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told her, oh Fatima, read this, this is better than having a maid working in the house, a servant who does your work. This will give you more strength. So more than having a maid to help in the house for ladies, more for them to stay healthy, they don't have to go gymming, they don't have to go jogging, they need to read the Tasbihat-e Fatiha. The vitamin tablets that are from Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, from the direct mouth of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, everything, his heart and soul were worth whatever he did. It wasn't, there was no separation there between the two. We give bayans and bayans, but our heart is not there, our soul is not there. But Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and to who was he giving it? To his largely daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So if they are great, then we don't miss it out. Minimum we must read it after every namaz. If there is sunnah muakkada, after that. And at night when going to sleep also, we should read it that time. So that is the minimum. More than that we can read. To keep our tongues busy, we have to be very good happy then that we can read at any time. But we can read Tasbihat-e Fatiha. While we walk in from here to wearing the shoes, we can easily read it 1-2 times. How much? And what the rewards are. Inshallah, we will discuss that a bit more in detail. Then, about our roza that we were discussing, Allah has made roza for us on all the parts of the body. And Allah makes it that we keep those rozas of all the parts of the body. Not just the same rozas when we were 6, 8 years, we were 5 years, and parents were very happy, he kept a full roza, only 5 years, or something like that. But we kept so many half roza. If we are still just keeping half roza, just the outward roza, not the inside roza, though now we are 50, 60, and we still keeping half roza, it will be very sad. Keep the proper full roza. Roza of the eyes, of the tongue, of the ears, of the mind and the heart, of the mind and the heart, that's very, very, and that has got great power. And Allah has given us every year Ramadan. What an opportunity that we can develop these qualities fully in Ramadan. One Ramadan, Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person who finds Ramadan and his sins are not forgiven, that means one Ramadan he found. And we have found how many Ramadans in our life, but sins are not leaving us still. We are still even standing in Ramadan. We haven't understood the value of this great, pure, clean, honorable, beautiful, flourishing month which just gives us so much of goodness. So Allah make it. So each one of us check ourselves now. First Ashura is finished. Today is the end of the first Ashura. And it was the Ashura of the Rahmat of Allah. And Rahmat is, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali made the tafsir of it, Tawfiq-e Ta'at. that we Allah gives a person tawfiq to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And when he has that great tawfiq, then farazi and ma'isha, Allah gives enough in your rozi. You don't find yourself short. You don't have to 15th of the month and your money is finished and you still have to finish another 15 days. You just paid your rent, now you've got no money for groceries. No, we, and the word there is not to go and earn more. The word there is to get the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And these are the periods, this first 10 days, ask Allah to fill our lives, our hearts with His rahmat. That means the full tawfiq of the obedience of Allah. How much more we are obedient to Allah, quantity-wise also and quality-wise also. So much we will see that Allah will give us farazi and ma'isha. And that is how Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, both your work of dunya is done. Your deen also is done in dunya, you got tawfiq at ta'at. And your dunya is also done, farazi and ma'isha. So you will live comfortably and you make the ibadat of Allah. In akhirah, bila hisab maghfirah. Forgiveness without any hisab kitab. Allah just will say, go, you are forgiven. And dukhul al-jannah. And you will enter into jannah. Even after hisab kitab, and then still it's not just a straight walk into jannah. They full sirat. And full sirat has got 7 stations where various things will be checked. When a person will have covered about 70% of full sirat, then the station comes to our ghibat will be checked. We made ghibat. And many, many people there will fall into Jahannam. So if we made ghibat and we did not read the du'as after the majlis, we didn't make tawbah from that. And who we had to ask for forgiveness, we didn't ask. And then there to fall into Jahannam. So sort out our matters while we are here in the dunya. No matter how low we have to make ourselves, in front of who we have to go and ask for maaf and maybe of ribat, doing that is much, much less compared to falling into the fire of Jahannam. Which is easier? To go and ask somebody and he insults you also, oh, you were acting like my good friend, but you were talking behind my back all the time. That whatever we have to go through compared to falling in the fire of Jahannam, which is easier? Don't let us become like, who was it? Akhtartu naar alal aar. Abu Talib. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, he did so much for Nabi Ali Salam. Nabi Ali Salam tried his best to present in Islam and accept it just before he passed away. But he said, just in the fear that what the Quraysh will say, I was the leader of the Quraysh, and I preferred the religion of my nephew over my crime, over the Quraysh. So I prefer akhtartu naar, I prefer going to the fire of Jahannam. Al-al-aar, that they mustn't feel bad about me. So let us not be so foolish. What is food? And Jahannam is not a 5-letter word. It is a reality with so much of it. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq that we sort out our matters. So the first ashra of Ramadan is now finishing. And now when we inshallah get a chance for a few minutes, ask Allah. Allah has got that qudrat and Allah's system also. Last minute He puts in everything for a person. Allah Ta'ala is so merciful. Shaykh Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahimahumullah ta'ala. He says that Abdullah ibn Mubarak narrated that there was one very proud person, rich person, proud person. And Hajj time, and all the people were going for Hajj, and he also wanted to go join them. So he took 500 dirhams to go and do his Hajj shopping, all necessities. He went out. On his way, a lady called him and said, I'm a noble woman, Sayyida, from the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I've got daughters, and 4 days we haven't eaten anything. Give us something. So Allah put in his heart, and all the 500 dirhams he took, and he gave it to her. From there he went back home. And he said, Allah took out the desire of Hajj from my heart also. Nafal Hajj, extra. So after that, The time passed, it was there, and Aziz came back, so he thought, I wanted to go with them, all my friends also, go and meet them, congratulate them on the completion of Hajj. And as I gave them that, mashallah, Hajj, Allah accept, he said, may Allah accept your Hajj also. So all of them telling him that, so he was perplexed. All of them told him, Allah accept your Hajj also. And then when he asked them, they say, you were there for Hajj, we saw you there. At night he saw a dream. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh so and so, that you throw your life, you are a very proud person and whatever. But you gave that, then Allah appointed a farishta for you in your form. And every year till Qiyamah he'll make Hajj for you. So on that ulama right, there's going for so much Hajj, Umrah, Mubarak. But really the needs of the Ummah, when the Ummah is suffering, when the people haven't got food to eat, people haven't got food to make sehri work, iftari, and we just going Hajj on Hajj and Umrah on Umrah, and so many other necessities, those are the things, and this is the darja you will get. Hadrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi himself, he was also going for Hajj with his whole entourage. He had a lot of all the preparation. When they came to one place, he saw some young girls, one, two young girls, on the place where they pile up, where the dirt burned, all the dirt. There were some dead birds lying there. So the girls were going to take that to eat. So he told them, it's haram, you can't eat dirt, it's scary, dead birds. So they told him, it's haram for you, not haram for us. And they got the message that when a person is so desperate, he can even eat that. All that money he had, all for his Hajj and his old entourage, he gave it all to them. He told his treasurer, only keep so much money back that he can get back home. The rest of it, give it to them. And then Allah appointed somebody to make Hajj for him every year. Famous about Hazrat Maulana Masihul Dasab Rahmatullah Ali. Every year people should sing for Hajj, but Hazrat didn't go every year for Hajj. Allah makes somebody a farishta in your form, and he makes Hajj on your behalf, and we go to our qabr, but he will be making Hajj for us. Such doors are open for this ummah. Let us take advantage of them. And where today the need is so much, let us see. And on the other side, what we hear, we haven't got proof of it, but that the Saudi government, their money is not only used indirectly against the Palestinians, against Islam, what is happening in the kingdom, what terrible things are happening. And we are filling their pockets all the time. We should consider. So anyway, so Allah give us topic, inshallah. So we should keep roza or our eyes also and see that we are improving. Am I keeping my eyes focused now on deen, on akhirah, arrows of the tongue? Am I talking about deen or still about dunya and about the ears and the mind and the heart? Very, very important. And then the roza of the stomach, that is what goes into our stomachs. Somebody gave some surma. What is surma in English? Antimony. For the eye, surma, what we put. And it's sunnah, and it's not sunnah for Juma. It's sunnah at night when we go to sleep. Many handsome young boys also put surma on their Juma. That is fitna. That is not sunnah. That is a fitna. To put surma is to put at night when we go in sleep. And put it with the niyat of sunnah also. Even when we use atar, itar, and the correct pronunciation, itar, but we call it atar, with perfume. Then a person, if he uses it, and many, many people buy very expensive atar also. People buy very expensive watches also. And unbelievable what the prices of watches are. And there are people who haven't got one watch, 5, 10, 20, 30 watches. You don't need for every day a different watch of the month. And so expensive, so expensive. So anyway, itar also. The people today, and more we are paying for the packaging than the content. Some people even, the bottle is empty, but the packaging is so beautiful and so expensive. So this ether also, if we use it and we give somebody also to show that what my taste of ether is, what type of ether I use, on the day of Qiyamah, a terrible stench will come out of that person. If we didn't use that ether for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we use it to impress people, that people are to ask us, what ether you got on, what ether you are using. And this is common with women, their perfume. Then they want other women to ask, what perfume are you wearing? What kind of perfume are you using? So ether also, men also have become very feminine. And our ether also we use, if we use it with the niyat of sunnah. Otherwise, it is not sunnah to use ether, but if we don't use it for sunnah, we use it for to show my how prestigious I am, what my level is, then it is haram, and it is a great warning and punishment for them. So Allah give us topic. So the surma also, we use it at night. Jesus, Almighty Chanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that somebody gave him a gift, surma. So he told that person, I'll first find out from my hakim whether the surma is good for my eyes or not. Otherwise, there are people who sell surma, which is like dust. And it is dust, but it's a special type of dust. But just ordinary sand. And if somebody gives you that and you put ordinary sand in your eye, you will harm your eye. So it has to be the proper what is called. So I'm not an expert in that field. So my hakim. So that person say you've got so much nakhra, you are so fussy that you are evil. You will ask your hakim, I'm giving you a gift. Now why you want to go and ask somebody else? So he said, why? Your surma is yours, what you are giving me. But my eyes are my eyes. I can't damage my eyes for something that I don't know what it is, and I use it in my eyes, and I damage my eyes. Eyes are valuable. Like that, our stomach is also valuable. Don't just put anything in the mouth. The mouth is the gateway of the stomach. Things, whatever go in the stomach, go through the mouth. But not for the mouth's sake. It is to go down. And the mouth, from there also we learn, very important, our dental care, our mouth care. And the greatest thing in there is miswak. Miswak is a something thing that cleans the mouth completely in every aspect. And they have fooled us, and how many good people we use the toothpaste and toothbrush. And toothpaste, and with the best toothpaste, the more it has got fluoride in it, which is a chemical waste. They don't know what to do with it, where to dispose of it. And now they're putting it into the toothpaste and make us pay for it. And therefore, have the regulations of government, they are all companies who make toothpaste only allowed certain percentage of fluoride, because it's harmful. The small amount, you don't feel it. Just like you spray your room with doom. Doom is harmful. But a small amount, you won't feel it. Many other things, radiation of the phone. A small dose of it, you don't feel it. Therefore, there are regulations how much of radiation is allowed also. So these small things, but the small things lead to big things eventually. So there's the fluoride in the toothpaste and toothbrush, astiwaku, mit aratu lilfam, purifies and cleanses your mouth. Not your teeth only. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, fam. Not only the asna, but for your mouth it cleanses. And mardatu mit aratu lilfam, mardatu lilrab. And it pleases Allah Ta'ala. And if you make miswak and make it that Allah must be pleased with me. And try and make as much miswak. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was so warned. He said, just almost every time he's busy making miswak, not miswak. And mashallah, still we see this quality in the Arabs. Not all of them, but those who are still needing every time, all time miswak is in their hands and they're busy making miswak. But for at least 5 times a day, if you can just pick up our hands, who of us are consistent with miswak? Just to know, I don't want to identify anyone. So, a lot of us still have to try and bring miswak into our life. The ulama of Deoband, one of the main signs is ittiba sunnah. That is one special. And ittiba' sunnah, there are a lot of sunnahs. Allah give us topic to make amal on all the sunnahs. But one particular sunnah which they are very mindful, stressful, as they stress on it, is the sunnah of miswak. That is a great sign which we should have. So we should try and all must have our miswak and make it regularly. At least the 5 times wudu, we make miswak. Besides that also, we should make this miswak. Miswak is a great thing. So this is the entry point or for the stomach, and that is an end for the body. From the stomach, Allah has got such a computer that you have a headache. So you have to put some medicine on the head, but you take a panado in your mouth, and then the stomach will send it to the head. You've got a pain on your toe. Doctor gave you a painkiller. The toe is paining, but you're putting the tablet in your mouth. And that goes to your stomach, and there Allah has kept that computer that sends them to the all the way it is required. So the stomach is a miracle of Allah also. And doctors also who study, and when they come to the study of the stomach, it's the biggest chemist in the world. And all the chemicals which are there, and more than like a laboratory where explosions can take place, where wrong acids are mixed, wrong acids, gases are mixed, they can cause a terrible explosion. The stomach, what and what things we put in there. But what, how Allah has made it so strong, and it breaks down so many hard, hard things it breaks down. So all that, the entry point of it is the mouth. So our mouth keep it clean, and then we must learn to eat also. Somebody said it beautifully, you must eat such a way that you chew your water. In other words, don't gulp water down, sip it down. And your food also, you even more, you must choose. Don't let your big pieces, sometimes when we have to eat more than others when we are eating together, we don't chew the food, we are just putting it down. The body doesn't benefit from it also. Because the stomach can't handle it, and it just goes out again without taking the benefit. So eating also is the adab of eating are also very, very important to learn. Allah reward our Shaykh, rahimahullah, taught us that when eating time, don't speak anything serious. Mustn't be quiet also, and don't be so serious also. Because if you are serious, then your body cringes. If they don't give any sad news to anyone who is busy eating, like somebody passed away, an accident took place, because the body, without ghair shuuri torpor, without realizing it, your body cringes, your nervous system, everything. And then it can't take the benefit of the food, the stomach also. If the food just passes through the stomach, and you go to toilet, and all what it had to take out the good of the food, the vitamins, nutrients, all that the stomach can't do. So therefore, very important. So see that we eat and eat slowly. Don't rush, not also so slow, but chew your food properly. So much that you have to, like how your water, if you have to chew it, in other words, sip it also. And your food also, chew it properly. And then during meals, try and avoid all liquids, especially cold things. An American doctor, he says that drinking cold water, that freezes your stomach. And then your stomach, the food you eat, it can't digest it. And drinking fuzzy drinks, that drinks with gas in it, all our cold drinks, all the cold drinks have got gas in it, that deep freezes the stomach. And then all what you eat, the stomach doesn't take the benefit out of it. It's deep frozen. It doesn't function. And the food is just going in and goes out again. And so that is the rule. And we should abide by that rule in our eating. For I suffer from a reflux problem. And because of that, sometimes I have to just sip a little bit, a drop or two, to make the food. Because I do it, our friends also start drinking juice and water while eating. Monkey see, monkey do. And monkey comes in trouble too. that we just see what we see and we don't realize. The ruling is that we should not be drinking. But of necessity, now we have to drink a little bit, just to, so that the water, the food goes down. And the whole system, Allah system, the food pipe, is not just one pipe. There are segments, pieces, pieces. And when the food comes to the end of one piece where it joins with the next, then it opens itself up. And that next pipe also has to open and the food goes through. Now a reflux problem is, it does not open up. So the food is stuck there. The food is not gone to the stomach. Now you have to try and get it down. So there's a treatment, etc. But the whole system of Allah Ta'ala. So our eating also, what we put in our stomach, what food we put in, how we eat, the environment we eat in, we should be talking there. One thing which should be common on this dasturkhan, which is negative, zero, we Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. And it should come out from the heart, not from the tongue. With Allah's name. And me, such a sinful person, I didn't go to job. In fact, I spoke against my boss. I plotted against my boss. And he's sending my pay to me by my house. And he's sending me extra also. We speak against Allah. We don't do the work of Allah. We are born to work for Allah. We are born only to make Allah's ibadah. We're not making Allah's ibadah. How much we speak against Allah. And Allah is sending the food to us. And what delicious food. And that also still no alhamdulillah. How many of us, who of us read one time also, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, when we are eating. We don't think, yes, complaints we will make a lot. The salt is not right, this is not right, where's the honey? Bring the honey, bring the butter, bring all the extras we are demanding. And to make sugar, no sugar. So we have to learn how to eat also. We are still very, very far behind as far as eating is concerned. Eating, our chef taught us, Jazakumullah khair. When you eat finish, your plate must be clean. The surrounding around the plate also. We see how many people, well, once there was some function here in Azadwell, and I encourage our friends to make khidmat of those brothers. When they came back, they say, we are surprised, they are so like, much in deen and that. But when you see their eating habit, that the dasturkhan, how dirty it is left, the amount of meat that is left on the bones, etc., and the amount of waste that they eat, it's unbelievable. Not only little crumbs, pieces of bread, pieces of roti are just wasted like that. And all gone in the dustbin. Where on the other hand, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion was having his meal. And while eating, one morsel, not morsel, like a pea, or one dana, like a rice grain, or like beans, one bean, or one rice grain, it fell down. And when it's that like a pea, it's a round in shape, so it's like a ball. So he just lurakeya. He just went away somewhere. He looked for it himself. He couldn't find it. There were some neighbor's children playing there. He told them, please look for this. They found it. He cleaned it. He ate it. Then he went to the Khanka and he told them that this happened today. And he said that, why did I take so much trouble for one pea? He said that all that food is made of one pea. If you eat it, 10 grams of mug or bean, 20 grams, whatever, but every 1 gram, every 1 pea makes it up. And the last straw broke the camel's back. It's not the last straw. It was when it came to its limit and the one that was now extra. It's not one straw that broke its back. All that whole load of whatever was put, all that then broke the camel's back. So a small, small thing. One time our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came to visit us here, and from the airport he went directly to Maulana Hussain Bayat Rahmatullah Ali's place where he should stay. And it was near, just before Asr, and he tea he had. After drinking tea, he finished, and that also till the last cup. And then more than that, with his finger, he was cleaning the cup also. So I asked Hazrat, so much? Usually, like we are taught, Like the West, that also many of us still perhaps have that habit. They have to leave a little bit of tea at the end. And that is pure waste. For what you leave, for who you leaving there. Just to show that you're not so greedy or something. Or what, for whatever reason. And we follow them blindly. We don't know. We should drink it, we don't waste anything. And then as a plain with them, first as I told me, ye may serve the hulu hai. Extra, unnecessary, I'm overdoing it. Then he said, nay, right, of the kathir which we are in need of, the plenty, the whole cup. And the kathir is only made with the paneer, where the one drop, part of a drop, one drop is made. One drop makes the whole cup. And we are desperately in need of a less namel. We got this one nice cup, hot cup of tea, after all travels and everything. And tonight's program again we have to make. So it refreshes you. So make shukr to Allah. But we waste so much. A lot of things. Our eating habits are... And if there is no waste on the dastarkhan, then there won't be waste. We don't need so many dustbins, etc. And the worst places of wastage are the hotels and the airlines. Then once something goes for a customer, a traveler, and even if he doesn't eat, that whole train must go into the dustbin. Even the things which are not opened also, but it was given to him when he comes back in the hotel, and the people, their eyes are much bigger than their stomachs. When we are getting, we pay for it when we're in the hotel, but like now it's free, now you can take what you want to. And in buffet style, you dish out what you want to. And then we take off more, much more than what we can eat. And after that, that is just left for waste. And all the leftover food is not allowed to be used for the next meal. At home, we will still have what you want. You can eat at night, you have it for breakfast. But in a hotel, etc., and that, they not allow that. It must, and you can't give it to the poor also. By law, they can't give it to the needy also. It must be thrown in the dustbin. So the amount of wastage that they eat, and how many people are suffering. What they are, they haven't got, forget expired food, they haven't got sand to eat. There are mothers who cook and put some sand with the curry, just to make it more. So how the people are suffering. So eating also, we have the adab of eating, are plenty also. And this is the first thing, wash our hands before. Sit in a humble way. We shouldn't sit in any way that shows any pride in our sitting. If sitting cross-legged, if a person is now, his health is such, he can't help it, it's different. But that too, at least at the beginning, sit in the attahiyat position. Or with one leg down and one leg up. Or the best is the squatting position. We see many sitting in the opposite position, cross-legged. And we don't see anyone sitting in a squatting position. People who are light in their body and that love of sunnah and to sit. The world, I think it was Maulana Abdullah Durwesh, I think he should sit in the squatting position. And he was such a person who should come every year, and his work was only Quran Sharif. Whole day he should read Quran Sharif. And for supper, for meal times, every iftari, he should go a bit late. And then he should, all the leftovers of everyone, that is what he should collect and eat. Not go and take fresh from the pot, hot food. And all the leftovers is gone cold also. And everyone this little what they left over. And we are such that when we collect plates after eating, some of us make that khidmat, that all the plates. And then it's beyond us that we can touch the bones of that ritual. We take a tissue or something. We won't touch it with our hands, our pride won't allow us. That we touch it with our hands and we put it in one place. When we see how people, how their attitude is, the amount of pride that how we, or we just tip it over from the plate, no problem. But something left over, we can't touch it with our hands. We are too great people, too big people. And we need to use a tissue or something in order to bring it. So, food, just to Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, bring two alims to sit in front of me, 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes, and not one word they speak. But after that, I'll be able to tell you whose tarbiyat is made, whose tarbiyat is not made. Who is tarbiyat yafta? whose Islah has been made, whose Islah has not been made. Just by our sitting and how we are fidgeting and looking around or whatever, a person can make out what the condition of a person is. So with living with a person, you can see the condition of a person. Outwardly, we can show with our big amamas and big kurtas and long kurtas how pious we are or our long namazas. But a person can easily see through a person. Allah save us all. And Allah save us from looking at the faults of others. We find our Buzur, when they saw the faults of others, they made dua to Allah to block it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radiallahu, Allah used to show them the conditions of other people. And they should make dua, Ya Allah, take this away from us. And we go out of our way to find the faults of others. Subhanallah bihamdi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك.